The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 12th Chapter, text number 1 and 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasakikari, recorded on November 17th, 2006, in Houston, Texas, USA.
Till today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 12, text number 1 and number 2. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha Iti Te Varnita Chatta Kalakya Paramatmana Mahima Veda Garbhota Yatasrakshin Nibhodhame. Translation. Sri Maitreya said, O learned Vidura, so far I've explained to you the glories of the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His feature of Kala. Now you can hear from me about the creation of Brahma, the reservoir of all Vedic knowledge. Since there's no purport, we'll read on to the next verse. Sasar jagrain da tamashram ata tamishram adikrit mahamoham chamoham cha tamascha jnana vrittayah. Brahma first created the nescient engagements like self-deception, the sense of death, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership, and the illusory bodily conception or forgetfulness of one's real identity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Before the factual creation of the living entities and different varieties of species, the conditions under which a living being in the material world has to live were created by Brahma. And thus the living entity forgets his real identity. It is impossible for him to live in the material conditions of life. Therefore, the first condition of material existence is forgetfulness of one's real identity. And by forgetting one's real identity, one is sure to be afraid of death. Although a pure living soul is deathless and birthless, this false identification with material nature is the cause of false ownership of things which are offered by the arrangement of superior control. All material resources are offered to the living entity for his peaceful living and for the discharge of the duties of self-realization in conditioned life. But due to false identification, the conditioned soul becomes entrapped by the false sense of ownership, or the sense of false ownership of the property of the Supreme Lord. It is evidenced from this verse that Brahma himself is a creation of the Supreme Lord, and the five kinds of nescience which condition the living entities in material existence are creations of Brahma. It is simply ludicrous to think the living entity to be equal with the Supreme Being. When one can understand that the conditioned souls are under the influence of Brahma's magic wand. Patanjali also accepts that there are five kinds of nescience as mentioned herein. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakai Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Gino Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dati Svapadantikam. So, we are in a problematic condition. We can't blame Lord Brahma for this. This is his duty. Of course, the gopis, they blamed him for making their eyelids blink to interrupt their darshan of Krishna. But we cannot imitate such activities. Well, it's Brahma's fault that I'm in Maya. It's not really my fault. No. And he has created the conditions of the prison. That is his construction. But it is our fault we are in the prison. That's a thing. We are here in this prison of material existence because we were envious of God. That why someone else should be the supreme? Why not me? As soon as we have this spirit of envy, that I would rather be the supreme, and Krishna gives us a place where we can think we are the supreme, Houston, Texas. So in this place, everyone is running around, I am the supreme. No, I am the supreme. And they clash. In traffic, in business world, in all activities, they are competing. One is thinking he is the supreme. He wants to prove that he is the supreme. I'm better than you. I'm the best. I'm the center of enjoyment. They are thinking that I am the star of the show of this thing called life, and everyone else is simply my supporting actor. Why they don't realize it? So this is false identification. We are thinking I am the body. This is a very deep-seated sense of identity, false identity. I'm thinking I'm male, you see. The man, he is thinking I am male. The woman, she is thinking I am female. This is false. This is false identification. I'm not man, I'm not woman, I'm none of these. Because I am not this body. Why am I identifying to the body? You see. Because I had this desire to lord it over. Now Krishna is giving me a position in which I can think that I am the supreme. But because that is an artificial position, it is not real. Of course, it has an identity, it has a reality, but it is not what it appears to be. The Mayavad, they deny that this world is false. We do not accept that position. But it is illusory also in the sense that it's not what it appears to be. Just like if we go to a cinema house, of course we don't go to the cinema house. But if we were to go to the cinema house, we would see on the screen, they are projecting from the projector room an image. You see. Someone may be in Winnipeg, Canada, in the middle of winter, you see, when it's very, very cold outside. They're watching some movie of the Fiji Islands. And they're forgetting the cold. They're thinking, oh, it's a wonderful, beautiful day here in Fiji. The blue lagoon is there, and the beautiful Pacific breezes are coming. They're just enjoying, like, in Fiji. And then, but then when the movie ends, they have to go outside into minus 20 degrees. Is it? So was that movie real or was it not real? Actually, there was a reality. There was a real screen, and there was real light being projected from a real projector. So it's not that the cinema house is false. The cinema house is real. And the screen is real, the lights, the sound effects, it's all real. But it's not what it appears to be. You weren't really in Fiji. You see, you were in Winnipeg. It's 20 degrees below zero. Now you have to go home tonight and your car won't start. Oh my God. So, this material world is real. Just as that cinema house is real, but it is not what it appears to be. You see, this body is a fact. It exists. But it's not me. The illusion is I'm thinking it's me. Someone says, how old are you? And I say, oh, I'm 59. But actually, I am not. That's the body. Someone says, how old are you? You say, well, I'm eternal. I'm infinite. There's no measuring how long I have existed. I'm infinite. My age is infinity. That is the actual answer. How old are you? Oh, infinite. How old are you? Infinite. You see? It's like here in this room, we have so many different ages. We have a little one here. You see, we have old gray-haired ones here. But actually, we are all the same age. Exactly the same age. Ajja, unborn. We were never born. We've always existed. It's a fact. There was never a time. Natvevaham jatunasam natvang me ne me janadipa nachayvana bhavishyama sarjevayamataha padam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So that is the actual position. Brahma has created a situation where it's a very elaborately constructed cinema house. The sound effects are very good, and the lighting is very good, and it really appears to be real. He's made this material world in such a way that you can really think this is it. This is where it's at. This is who I am and what I am. I'm American, I'm Gujarati, I'm Mexican, I'm this, I'm Russian. You see, I'm this, I'm that. It's not an easy thing to get out of this false conception. We have been conditioned for eons. For millions of lifetimes, we have been conditioned to think I'm this body. It's not easy to come out of it. We've been captive. We've been the prisoners of Maya for so many millions of years. If you want to get out of Maya, then you have to, practically speaking, declare war. That's pretty heavy. When a nation goes to war, that's a pretty intense thing. So if we want to get out of this material nature, we must declare war against Maya. It's a very heavy thing. We have to make very solid commitment. That I have been entangled in the material nature since time immemorial, and now in this lifetime I am going to get out. I'm going to pray to Guru and Krishna to save me, and I'm going to intensely endeavor. I'm going to struggle to conquer over these material desires by spiritualizing my consciousness. That from now on, every thought must be for Krishna's pleasure. No more nonsense thoughts lurking around in the brain, you see. Every thought must be pleasing to Krishna. Every word must be pleasing to Krishna. Every action must be pleasing to Krishna. You see, this we must do. Just imagine if there was some big screen here in the temple room. It was some high-tech arrangement that all of your thoughts could be projected on the screen 24 hours a day, so all the devotees could come and sit and watch your thoughts on the screen. What is he thinking now? You see? Would you have to hide in your closet in shame? Or could you sit here and let everyone see your thoughts, and they'd say, wow, he's always Krishna conscious. Even in his thoughts, he's always Krishna conscious. This is how we must mold our thinking. We must mold our thinking so that we are always Krishna conscious. Because if you're always thinking Krishna consciously, then you will always speak Krishna consciously naturally, and you will always act Krishna consciously naturally. So it really, that's where it's really happening. That's where it's really seen if you're Krishna conscious or not. Where's your mind fixed? I mean, anybody can put on tilak and a dhoti. Did you hear about what happened in Miami? You know, it's a big place for drug smugglers coming in, you know, coming in with a suitcase full of cocaine from, you know, Colombia. Trying to merge in with the tourists, look like a normal tourist. So some drug smuggler got an idea, well, I know how I can really get through customs easily. I'll dress up as a devotee. Shave my head, put on a dhoti, tilak. They would never think that I was a drug smuggler, so he did that. And he came through the, you know, an inspection. Officials looked at him. They, of course, they've seen devotees. They know what devotees look like. They took one look at him and they said, he doesn't look blissful. He doesn't have the Hare Krishna effulgence. Look in his bag. I think he's a fake. Sure enough, they nabbed him. So just putting on dhoti and a tilak, you see, sari, tilaks, and neck beads, that doesn't make you Krishna conscious. I mean, it helps. We recommend our members should, especially when you come to the temple, put on dhoti, tilak. It's good, it helps, but it doesn't, that alone does not make you Krishna conscious. There's even a famous song by Bhaktivedanta Thakur, our great songwriter in our tradition, Naratan, Bhaktivedanta, they're the transcendental Lenin and McCartney of the Vaishnava culture. Bhaktivedanta Thakur and Naratam Das Thakur, they're the greatest songwriters, actually. So, Bhaktivinoda, he says, here comes another disciple of Kali. He has tilak on the nose, and he has kanti mala around the neck, and he's keeping so many women for illicit sex. So we have to not be that kind of, that caliber of devotee. We make a very nice show of being Krishna conscious externally, but in the heart we're keeping all the dirt, that we're attached to all the precious, so-called precious mental dirt. I am great, I am this, I am that, I'm fantastic. We have to become very, very keen to obliterate all that dirt in the heart. Anartha Nivritti. That's where the going gets, that's what separates the men from the boys, as they say, on the path of back to home, back to Godhead. That stage of Anartha Nivritti. The first stage is Sadhusanga. I mean, Shraddha. Someone has a little faith, yes, this is very nice, Hare Krishna movement. One nice books, nice prasadam, nice temple. That's very good. Many people have that level of spiritual advancement. They have some appreciation, some faith. This movement is nice, very nice. And then the next stage, that's not so difficult. Sadhu Sangha, you come to the temple, associate with devotees. It's not so difficult. Sadhu Sangha. And the next stage is a little more difficult. You got to become fixed in the principles. Bhajana Kriya, you get initiated. Take up the vow. So many people do that. They get initiated. But the next stage, that's the really the That's where it really starts to get tough. That's anartanibhuti. And that's what really will make you or break you in Krishna consciousness. If you can become solidly situated in that platform, clearing all the dirt out of the heart, you see, then you will never leave Krishna consciousness. Many initiated devotees have left because they never got a solid footing in anartanibhuti. So that's what we really have to become very serious to cleanse that dirt out of the heart. Because that's what will make us very strong and solid, and that indeed is the next stage. After anartanibhuti, the next stage is nishta, you become solid. And then once you're solid, then comes ruchi. Then you can taste the sweetest nectar. As we were reading last night in our program, how one can relish the sweetest happiness within. A Krishna conscious person, he can be in any situation and taste the nectar that's there within. He's connected with the internal energy. He has his spiritual master, he has Krishna. Just by thinking about them, he becomes enlivened and surcharged with transcendental ecstasy. So we want to get to this platform where we can really start to taste the nectar, really, really relish the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Then we have to pay the price. We have to pay the price. We have to work very hard to cleanse the heart of all the dirt. How is that done? That's done by faithfully executing our vows, taken at initiation. To chant 16 rounds every day. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And strictly avoid the sinful activities, illicit sex life, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And to participate in this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Is a dedicated member to serve this mission with our full energy, with our full enthusiasm, with our full intelligence. If we do like this, then we will make very nice progress in Krishna consciousness. We will feel how we're becoming more and more happy and satisfied in this wonderful, wonderful life of Krishna bhakti. No one will have to say, Prabhu, you're making advancement. We will feel how we're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Just like when you take prasadam, does somebody have to tell you, you're getting full now? No. You know when you're getting full. The first time the servers come, yes, come on, more. Second time, oh, maybe a little bit more. And the third time they come, you know you're full. You see? You know when you're getting filled up with prasad. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada explains that one doesn't have to just get a certificate that they are advancing in Krishna consciousness. One will feel the difference. One will feel that now, previously I was so much attracted to material sense gratification. But now, it doesn't appeal to me anymore. Just like our Giriraj Maharaj, his father was a very, very wealthy attorney. And at that time, Giriraj Das Brahmachari, he was serving our mission in India as a simple, humble beggar. So his father came to bribe him. You come, you leave this Krishna Ganesh movement, I'll make you a millionaire immediately. He did not accept. So Prabhupada was very pleased by Giriraj's Prabhus at that time. His wonderful spirit, understanding where the real happiness actually is. The fact is there is no happiness in this material existence. It is simply the semblance of happiness. That's it. This is the shadow. This is the reflection. If I give you a reflected image of a plate of prasadam, it may look very nice. You may even salivate seeing that reflection, but can you eat it? Is it possible to eat that reflection? No. You must have the real thing. So the happiness of this material existence is simply reflection of the genuine happiness in the spiritual world. A fool may grab the mirror and think, yeah, now I'm enjoying. But is there any enjoyment in the reflection of enjoyment? No. Simply a false conception. That's all. There is no factual enjoyment in the reflection of the enjoyment. You cannot enjoy it. You see. If you want actual enjoyment, you must get the real thing. Coca-Cola company, they used to advertise, it's the real thing. Coca-Cola. But they're wrong. It's not the real thing. Krishna consciousness is the real thing. Anything else besides Krishna consciousness is not the real thing. I don't care what it is. Money, power, fame, prestige. You can name any one of the millions and billions of things. It's not the real. They're not the real thing. Only Krishna consciousness is the real thing. Why? Am I saying that because I'm a member of the Krishna consciousness movement? No. I'm a member of the Krishna consciousness movement because it is the real thing. Not that I say that because I'm a member. That would be a cult. No. I didn't join a cult. I simply wanted to know what is the truth. I simply wanted to know, what does God want me to do? Then nothing else is relevant. I tried in so many ways to be happy, and finally I realized there's only one thing, really. It all boils down to simply finding out, what does God want me to do? Let me do that, that's all. Anything else is superfluous. It has nothing to do with actual happiness in life. We simply have to find out what does God want us to do. So Krishna is giving everything. He's revealing everything to us in Bhagavad Gita. Give up all your duties, surrender to me. How do we do that? We must approach Krishna. And if he is not physically present as he was for Arjuna, then we must approach his representative, the spiritual master. You see? In this way, we surrender. We surrender ourselves at the lotus feet of the bona fide representative of Krishna, the spiritual master. And by doing that, we become reconnected with who we actually are. We were existing in the spiritual world in the pastime of Krishna. But we got a little curious what it would be like to be the Lord Himself. So Krishna gave us a chance to cure us ourselves of that tendency by letting us taste, let us make that attempt to be the Supreme and realize how foolish that attempt is. So we can go back and actually be who we are. As Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, there is one, the perfection known as Svarup Siddhi. That is the perfection that we will achieve if we stay on this pathway of Krishna consciousness. We must have very strong faith, actually, that by simply practicing Krishna consciousness, we will achieve the highest perfection of life, Svarup Siddhi. This strong conviction is called, in Sanskrit language, Vyavisayatmika Buddhi. Vyavisayatmika, intelligence. That simply by sticking to this pathway, Krishna Bhakti, I will achieve the highest perfection. So that day will come if we stick to this pathway. when we will remember who we actually are in the spiritual world. We will become resituated in our original identity with Krishna in the spiritual world. So we really shouldn't cheat ourselves of trying to enjoy this material world any longer. We should just give it up, finished. It's foolish to try to go on trying to enjoy the reflection of the actual enjoyment. We should simply focus on keeping our minds 24 hours a day absorbed in pure Krishna consciousness, with no desire except to please my spiritual master. That's all. The life and soul of the devotee is simply this. Whatever order I have received from my spiritual master, I cherish that order. I worship that order as my very life and soul. Srila Prabhupada explains in his Bhagavatam purport, one should simply think of the order received from the spiritual master and not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. That was pretty heavy. I was amazed when I saw how Prabhupada said that. In other words, any, to think about anything except the order you receive from your spiritual master is a disturbance. Any other thought besides what my guru has told me, I must do, that is, Prabhupada calls that a disturbance. We shouldn't be distracted by any disturbances being put forward by the material nature. Whatever instruction Guru Maharaj has given, that's it. Whatever Gurudev has said, that's it. Finished. Gurudev said, that was finished. Very simple thing. Such a person is guaranteed. And such a person is already liberated, actually, from this material existence. They're already liberated. One who is holding fast to the order received from Guru Maharaj, the spiritual master. That person is already liberated from this material existence. So anyway, we thank you very much for your kind attention. Do any of you have some questions?
My English is not good, but if the Ruchi done after another unity, so what is the name or what is it? Because some person, some devotee can taste some taste, spiritual taste still in Bhajana Kriya.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, there is a. It's called, in the movies they call it sneak preview, or they call it trailer also nowadays. They give you, you're not seeing the whole movie, but you're getting a sample to encourage you to go to the movie. So, in the beginning, I remember seeing, sometimes we see how even a neophyte devotee comes totally ecstatic in kirtan. I remember when I was when I went to the Ratha Yatra in 1971 in San Francisco, there was one brahmachari in the temple, and he was just crying and crying and crying in the kirtan. He was crying tears of ecstasy in the kirtan. And some devotee asked Prabhupada about that. Prabhupada said, that is crying in the kirtan, that is the crying of the soul. Prabhupada didn't say, oh, sahaja, no. He said, that is the crying of the soul, if one is crying in the kirtan. So yes, even in the beginning stage, sometimes we feel great happiness. That is, Krishna is giving us a little sample of what it's going to be like if we stick to this pathway. But that it's not actual ruchi is proven by the fact that we don't remain in that condition. It's just, you know, a brief little experience. That's why it's... understood simply as sample, because it's not something we're tasting at every minute. And something is becoming stronger and more powerful at every minute. Is it? Which genuine ruchi is unbroken. It's very solid. It just becomes sweeter and richer and thicker, and juicier as the devotee continues to practice Krishna consciousness. So yes, Krishna gives us nice, in the kirtan, we can immediately taste the nectar. That's a fact. We can immediately taste the nectar in the very beginning. That's the wonderful mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that even a complete sinful person, he can come to the kirtan and taste transcendental bliss without any qualification. That is the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He bestows that. He gives a taste of Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema, to even a sinful person who's engaged in the kirtan. So many examples are there. People who feel great ecstasy just sing. Someone just sees the Ratha Yatra card come by, and they're transformed by seeing the Ratha Yatra card. So this is all the special mercy of Krishna. And if we take advantage of that wonderful experience that we get by the mercy of the Lord, and very seriously take up this pathway, very seriously take it up, associate with devotees, accept the spiritual master, follow the very strictly the regulated principles, and then we will come to the genuine states of ruchi. Any other questions? Yeah.
You mentioned that this happiness here in the material world is like a shadow or like an image in the mirror. But generally, if I'm hungry, if I look at the mirror in the image, I try to eat, I immediately realize that it's not satisfying me, so I go for something real.
Yeah.
But if it's equivalent to that, then why do many, all of us actually still go for the mirror?
Why do we fall for it?
Yes, still fall for it. Because I'm not feeling satisfied, but I still fall for it.
Yes, why is it that even though we're not being satisfied by illusory happiness, we still go for it, we fall for it again and again and again? This is known in the Bhagavatam as punak punash charvananam. I tried to squeeze the pleasure out, there was no pleasure, let me try again to squeeze the pleasure out. You see? This is the bewildering influence of material nature. And even though we've suffered again and again and again, we think, maybe I can get some enjoyment, let me try. Let me try harder to enjoy. And harder and harder and harder. And still we never enjoy. That tendency is there because somewhere there is real happiness, that is a fact. People have faith that there is happiness. Because actually there is real happiness in the spiritual world. But they are simply looking in the wrong place, that's all. They are trying to get happiness by being the enjoyer. But you cannot enjoy. That is not our position. We are not enjoyers. If we will simply try to be servant of God, then we will enjoy on an equal level with the Lord. That's a fact. So we thank you very much. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.